Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yivamos daf Pei Dalet. We left off on daf Pei Gimel Beis. We are at Uminalan Delo Kidesh. First one line is Uminalan, about 10 lines from the end of the page. Maybe we'll backtrack just a bit. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honor of his wife and children. Is also sponsored by Ken and Marcy Kapel, in memory of Ken's grandfather, Jacob Kapel, whose yard site was this past Shabbos, Yaakov Emanuel Ben Chaim Zevel of Shalom. And in memory of Ken's mother, Evelyn Kapel, whose 50th yard site is today, Avigail Bas Chaim Shraga Feivel, the Neshama Shevin Aliyah. It's also sponsored in honor of the yard site of Ms. Jeanette Geitzel's Shendel Bas Shaya Mendel, a Holocaust survivor who herself saved many children during the Holocaust, whose yard site is today, the Neshama Shevin Aliyah. Also by Tzippi and Aaron Ross, to mark the third yard site of Tzippi's mother, Mrs. Marsha Fredman, Masha Bas Yitzchak. The yard site was last Friday, the Neshama Shevin Aliyah. Also by David and Debbie Adelson, Leila Nishmas, David's grandmother, Chana Bas Rav Shlomo Yehuda Aryeh Hashem Yinkov Damo, who was murdered in Majonik yesterday in 1943. Also by Eliza and Aaron Hertz and family, in memory of Aaron's grandmother, Mrs. Lillian Hertz, Leah Bas Yosef Alevi, whose yard site is today. And also by David Friedman, in memory of his father's fourth yard site, Maurice Meish Friedman, Moshe Zev Ben Azriel Tzvi, all in the Shema Shem and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. Is this year over yet? So today we're going to discuss the following topics. First, I'm going to finish up the 8th parak. There are 16 parakim in Maseches Yevamos, so this is kind of the halfway mark of Maseches Yevamos. So the last discussion in the 8th parak is going to be whether a behema androgynous can become kodesh, can become egdish as a korban. So that's going to bring us to the end of the parak, and then the beginning of the 9th parak. It's going to be fascinating. The first mission of the 9th parak is really just a summary of things that we've already learned earlier in the Masechta. Like at the halfway mark, it's as if the Mishnah has decided, you know what, a little chazara is in order. So it's going to summarize a lot of the halachas that we learned previously. So the Mishnah is going to give cases where a woman is mutter to either the Baal or the Yavam, and usher to the other one, meaning mutter to the Baal, usher to the Yavam, mutter to the Yavam, usher to the Baal, usher to both, mutter to both, all four permutations. So we're going to have cases with all four of those possibilities. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why the Mishnah gives a case when it's discussing different cases. It talks about a case of a Kohen who is Nosei Almana. Why not just take a case of a Kohen who is Kidesh Almana? The Gemara is going to have three different answers to that. Then the Gemara is going to talk about why not speak about a Kohen marrying a Basula and having a Kohen Gadol brother, meaning wouldn't that also be a case if a Kohen marries a regular Basula, perfectly kosher girl, so that's a case where she's Mutaris Labaila, but he's got a Kohen Gadol brother. Wouldn't that be a case where she's Asura Liyavam? Because by the time the first husband dies, she now becomes an Almana. An Almana is Asura L'Kohen Gadol. So why do we have to make it? The Mishnah comes up instead with the case where a Kohen marries an Almana. Don't say Kohen marries an Almana. Say a Kohen marries a Besula, and then Mela she becomes an Almana by the time she faces the Yavam. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why the Mishnah did not talk about a case of a Ger Mitzri and go through all four permutations of how sometimes you have a case of a Ger Mitzri where she's mutter to the husband, asr to the avam, mutter to the avam, asr to the husband, mutter to both, asr to both, and the Gemara is going to suggest how we can have all four permutations within the context of Ger Mitzri. And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to talk about whether a kosher kohenes is allowed to marry a chalal, whether there's an iser for a kosher kohenes to marry a chalal. So we have our work cut out for us, so let's begin again. That we are at Uminalan Del Kiddush, but let's actually backtrack a little bit to Amrav Shizvi Amarav Chizda. So Amrav Shizvi Amarav Chizda, a few lines before that, says Lo Lakol Amar Rabbi Elazar Androgynous Zachar Mal Yehu. Rabbi Eliezer does not say an androgynous is a male b'taris vaday for all dinim. Shimat Amar Ken Mukdashin Yikdash. Because if an androgynous had a full din of a male, then when it comes to being Maktish a behema, it should actually work. There should be Kedush Saguf on a behema that's an androgynous. Uminolan to Lo Kadash. So says Gemara, and how do I know that that's not true? How do I know that an animal that is an androgynous cannot have a Kedush Saguf? To Tana Rabbanan, because we have a Brisa that talks about Malikas Ophos. The halacha is that if you were to do Malika on an oaf, if you were to cut off the neck of the bird from the back with your fingernail outside of the context of the Mikdash, it would become a Nevela. But in the Mikdash, it's not a Nevela. And the difference between a Nevela and not a Nevela, obviously a Nevela is Aser Ba'achila, a non-Nevela is Mutter Ba'achila, a Nevela has Tumah, a non-Nevela does not. not have the tumas nevela, but also in terms of being metame begadim abeis ablia, that a nevelas of tahor is metame begadim abeis ablia, that when a person is swallowing it, the begadim that he's wearing become tame. So in the context of that discussion of a nevela, the Brisa tells us as follows: Hanirbava muktzava nevedva eslan umchir v'tumtum v'androgynous metame begadim abeis ablia. If you have a bird that is nirva, meaning that a man was boel this bird, Rashi Maseches Bechoros and the Tosfos Yeshanim over here take away the word roveya from the Brisa, because they say that it would never ever happen. It would be impossible that a bird would be roveya in isha, but for a man to be roveya a bird apparently is not physically impossible. The Gemara Bechoros does not even gives neither example of roveya nor nirva, which seems to make a lot of sense also. But anyway, if you have any of these cases, a bird that was involved in bestiality, muktza means a bird that was designated for tikroves avodah zarah, neved means a bird that was actually worshipped for avodah zarah, esnon means a bird that was used as payment for a prostitute, mechir means a bird that was used as in exchange for a dog, was bartered for a dog, v'tumtum, a bird that's a tumtum, v'androgynous, or a bird that's an androgynous, they're all metamin begadim abeis ablia. If you do the malika of these birds in the Beis HaMikdash, they have a din of nevela. Normally you do malika in the Beis HaMikdash, the animal is perfectly kosher, it's not a nevela. But if the animal is never allowed to be a carbon in the first place, then when you do malika in the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be a nevela. So you see very clearly that the androgynous does not have kedusha, that the bird that is an androgynous is not roi lakrava, the malika therefore is not motzi mide nevela. Rabbi Eliezer Omer tumtum androgynous ein mitam begadim abeis ablia, that a bird that is a tumtum or an androgynous is not mitame begadim abeis ablia. The malika actually does work to take away the status of nevela. It has a din of any other bird, like any other bird of kachim that is not a nevela, is not mitame the begadim when you eat such a bird. And the reason that Rabbi Lazar holds that the ofos and the tumtum androgynous are kosher la'akrava is because shayi Rabbi Lazar Omer kol malkim shemar zachar nekeva, by karbonos of behema where there are different halachos, if it's a male karbon, a female karbon, some karbonos can only be males, other karbonos can only be females, so then we have a disqualification of a tumtum androgynous because gender matters by behemos. But when it comes to a carbon, a bird carbon, there are no different dinim between male and female. A male oaf and a female oaf are both kosher for any carbon oaf. So yatamotzi tumtum androgynous mibidayim, and therefore there's no disqualification of a tumtum androgynous because gender doesn't matter when it comes to birds. Gender only matters when it comes to animals. But bottom line is, Rabbi Eliezer agrees that when it comes to a behema, atamotzi tumtum androgynous mi beneim, a tumtum androgynous would be disqualified. They are not a valid carbon. They're not royally karev, and because they're not a zachar vaday, nor are they in the cave of adais, and therefore they can never have kedusha. So you see that even Rabbi Eliezer, who seemed to say that an androgynous is a zachar vaday, lo lakol, not for all halachos does he hold an androgynous is a zachar vaday. When it comes to a carbon, he holds it is not a zachar vaday. It's not roy to be a carbon at all. So now the Gemara brings an additional makar that Kedush Saguf is not going to be chal on a behemoth that's an androgynous, even according to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, and that he's moda that it's not legabe all dinim that we say that an androgynous is a zachar vaday, not legabe karbonos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer hakalayim utreifa v'yotze dofen, that if you have a behemoth that is kalayim, or you have a behemoth that became a treifa, or if you have a behemoth that was born derech dofen, not in a regular, it was a C-section, v'tumtum v'androgynous, or behemoth that's a tumtum and androgynous, lo kedoshin v'lo mekadshin. V'amar Shmuel, what does that mean? Lo kedoshin means bitmura. When Rav Lezer says lo kedoshin, it means not only is kedusha not chal on it if you're makdish it in the regular way, but even if you make a tmura for an animal that already has a kedusha, the kedusha is not even going to be transferable onto these animals. Meaning, not only can I not walk over to a regular chulin androgynous animal and declare it kodesh, even if I already have another animal that's kodesh and I'm trying to make a tmura to transfer its kedusha onto the androgynous, it also is not going to be chal. V'lo mekadshin, what does that mean? Ba'osa tmura. That's if you have a behema that is a klayim, or another behema that we list in the Mishnah, like an androgynous, which already is kedusha, and then you're hamer it in another behema, the kedusha is not going to be chal on the other behema. So shmami, no, we see that Reb Lazar holds that kedusha is not going to be chal on tum androgynous, because it is neither a zachar vade nor a nekeva vadais. So bottom line is, even Rabbi Eliezer, who was so certain that an androgynous is a zachar vade, not for all dinim, not as far as kedushas korban. When it comes to kedushas korban, the androgynous is neither male nor female, and therefore cannot have kedusha of a korban. So now the Mishnah said, Reb Lazar Omer chayav lav skila ki zachar, that if a person is boel an androgynous, you chayav skila like being boel zachar. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi, kishalachti l'matol etzal Reb Lazar ben Shemua, Rabbi said, when I went to learn Torah by Reb Lazar ben Shemua, chavru alai talmid of ketarnu golem shal beis bukya, they all attacked me, they all surrounded me and teamed up against me like the tarnugolim of beis bukya, v'loi nichuni lilmod, they wouldn't let me learn eladavar echad b'mishra seinu, except for one thing in our Mishnah, and that is that Rabbi Eliezer Omer, androgynous chayev lav skila kezachar, that an androgynous chayev skila for being bowl an androgynous like being bowl zachar. But other than that, they wouldn't let me in the base medrash. So the Aruch Lidar says, that's so mean. You're not supposed to bully new people in the yeshiva. Why did they not let him into the base medrash? Why did they not let him learn anything? So the Aruch Lidar explains that they were choshesh, that he wasn't really coming to learn, that he was bal kanter, that he was only coming to try to slug them up and to cause problems in the base medrash, but he wasn't really interested in the whole style, in the whole their whole derech of limud. That's what you have even in the times of the Gemara, that there were different darkei limud in different places. So people who are used to one style of learning sometimes would try to make a mockery of the other style of learning. They have that in Gemara and Kiddushin Dafnun Beis, that after Rabbi Meir died, Rabbi Yehuda told his Talmidim, Al Yichnasu Talmidei Rabbi Meir Lekan, that don't allow the Talmidei Rabbi Meir into our Beis Medrash, because they're Kantanarim Heim, they're only interested in being Lekanter, they're not coming to Lolim L'Torah Heim Boim, they're not coming to learn Torah, they're just coming to cause trouble. So the Aruch Lener says, it must be that that's why they didn't let him learn, that was, whether it was true or not, that was the impression they were under as to why he came. So, but they let him learn this one halacha, that Reb Lazar Omer androgynous is chayavin lav skila kizachar. That one halacha, they let him learn. Okay, so now we move on, hadron lacha aral, now we move on to the ninth parak of Maseches Yevamah. So yesh mutaro. So again, as Tosus points out, in the first line of Tosus, Pirush Harav Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Rabbi Yom Tov, Dechein Derech Hatana, La'achar Shepirush Halachas Hilchas Masechta, Choser V'shona Osam B'lashon Katzer. That a lot of times, the Tanayim, after it goes through, a lot of the Halachas of the Masechta will chazer them over in a very brief kind of way, and that's what our Mishnah is doing. Tosus is introducing us to our parak, that's really what our Mishnah is trying to do. All these halachos are not new. We've learned all of them. If we haven't chazered, maybe they'll feel new. But all of these halachos are not new. It's just formulated in a slightly different way. So the Mishnah the Mishnah tells us as follows: Yesh mutaros balein vasurus levmein leave mein mutaros leave mein vasurus balein mutaros elu leelu and asurus elu leelu. There are some women that are allowed to be with their husbands while their husbands are alive, but as soon as their husbands die, they're usher to the avam. Some women weren't allowed to be with their husbands, but when their husbands die, are mutter to the avam. Some women are mutter to their husbands, and when their husbands die, are mutter to the avam also. And some women are usher to both their husbands and the avam. So the Mishnah explains all four permutations and gives examples of each. Ve'elu mutaris l'ba'alehen, the following are mutter to be with their husbands when their husbands are alive, but vasurus leave mehen, they're not allowed to be with the yavams. Kohen hedyot shenasa salmana, let's say you have a regular kohen, marries an almana, nothing wrong with that, she's allowed to be with her husband, there's no iser. But v'yesh lo ach kohen gadol, he has a brother who's a kohen gadol, so when the kohen hedyot dies, now she faces yibum with the kohen gadol, who she's asura to, because she is an almana. Or you have another case, chalol shenasa ksheira, you have a chalol who marries a woman who's not a zona, not a chalala, she's perfectly kosher to marry a kohen, she's muteris to him, v'yesh lo ach kosher, but he has another brother who is kosher, who's a regular kohen, so now she became a chalala by virtue of her first marriage, meaning she went and she married a chalal, so now she became a chalala, so when her husband, the chalal, dies, now she's going to be asura to his brother, who's a kasher kohen. Or Yisrael shenasa bas Yisrael, you have Yisrael who marries a bas Yisrael, nothing wrong with that, but v'yesh lalach mamzer, when he dies, he has a brother who's a mamzer, so now she's asura to the avam. Or mamzer shenasa mamzeres, you have a mamzer who marries a mamzeres, again, nothing wrong with that, but v'yesh lalach Yisrael, but he has a brother who's not a mamzer, who's a regular Yisrael, and she is a mamzeres, so that's forbidden. So in all those cases, mutar sabalein v'asur sliv mehen, they're mutar to be with their husbands, but they're not allowed to be with their yavams. Ve'elu mutar sliv mehen v'asur sabalein. And when you flip all of these cases, you'll have a case where they are mutar to be with their yavam and not with their husbands, such as kohen gadol shekidesh salmana. You have a kohen gadol who's mekadesh an almana, so the almana is asura to the kohen gadol. The reason it says kidesh salmana dafka is because if he was boel her, she would become a zona, and then even his kohen hedyot brother would not be allowed to marry her. So trying to come up with a case where she's not allowed to be with her husband, but when her husband drops dead, she is allowed to be with the yavam. So kohen gadol is mekadesh an almana, that's no good. They're not allowed to be together. But if the kohen gadol drops dead, v'yesh lo ach kohen hedyot, he has a brother who's a kohen hedyot. Nothing wrong with the kohen hedyot being with an almana, so she's muteres liyavam. Or kosher shenasa chalala. You have a kosher kohen who marries a chalala. That's no good, but he drops dead, v'yesh lo ach chalal. He has a brother who's a chalal. Chalal's allowed to marry a chalala, that would be fine. Or Yisrael shenasa mamzeres. A Yisrael marries a mamzeres. That's no good, you're not allowed to do that. But if he drops dead, v'yesh lo ach mamzer. He has a brother who's a mamzer, who's perfect shidduch for a mamzeres. Or you have a mamzer shenasa bas Yisrael. A mamzer man marries a bas Yisrael, a regular kosher girl. That's not okay. But if he drops dead, v'yesh lo ach Yisrael. He has a brother who's a regular Yisrael. So then it would be Yisraelis doing yibum with the Yisrael, which would be fine. So in all those cases, mutarus livmeyan, vasurus libalein. All of those cases are cases where she's mutar to the yavam, even though she's usher to the husband. Now, that's a little bit surprising that you're allowed to do yibum in such a case. The whole purpose of Nemuka Yosef points out, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that the whole point of Yibum is to be Lahakim Shem La'achiv. If the brother would have asked, should I be, when he was still alive, should I be make him shame? Should I establish a shame with this Isha? We would say, no. Kol Yomav Ba'amod, you know, the Kol Yomav, your entire life, we would tell you every day, divorce her, divorce her, divorce her, divorce her. You're not allowed to stay married. You're living in sin. So she's Asur Labala, and still there's a din of Yibum. Still there's a mitzvah. That's the chiddush. Ve'elu asurus le'elu u'le'elu. And then we have cases where the woman is asurd to both her husband and to the potential yavam. Kohen gadol shenasa salmana v'yesh lo ach kohen gadol. Kohen gadol marries an almana and his brother is also a kohen gadol. So how do you have such a case that the brother is also the kohen gadol? So first of all, there are multiple types of kohanim gadolim. There's the kohen meshuach melchama and there's the kohen merubah begadim. So you have different types of kohanim gadolim. Also, you have sometimes when a kohen gadol is tamei and he's unable to perform the avodah, someone else takes his place. So he can't go back to being a kohen hediot afterwards, even though he was only a substitute kohen gadol because malam kodesh shalom aridin. So he remains with the status of a kohen gadol. So it could be that one brother took over for the other brother. Or you have like Kimchis, who had Shiva Banim, that were kohanim gadolim. So maybe when one brother died, the other one became the kohen gadol. So both brothers are kohanim gadolim. So she was not allowed to marry the first brother was not allowed to marry this almana. And now when the first brother drops dead, the second brother is not allowed to marry her because she's an almana. O kohen hediot, kasha shenasa, o kohen hediot, kasha shenasa, O kohen hediot, or even if he has a brother that's a kohen hediot, she's asura because she becomes a chalala, meaning if she married a kohen gadol in her first marriage, so by virtue of the fact that was an isra lav, she now becomes a chalala. So even if the brother is not a kohen gadol, even if he's only a kohen hediot, she'd be asura to the brother. Another case, kasha shenasa chalala, v'yesh lo ach kasher. A kasher kohen marries a chalala, which which is Asr, and he has a brother that's a Kasher, which would also be Asr for a Chalala to be with a Kasher. Or Yisrael, Shanas Mamzeris, Yisrael marries a Mamzeris, which is Asr, V'yeshlo Ach Yisrael, and he has a brother that's a regular Yisrael, which would also be a problem. Or a Mamzer, Shanas Bas Yisrael, you have a Mamzer who marries a Bas Yisrael, which is a problem, V'yeshlo Ach Mamzer, and he has another brother that's also a Mamzer. So Asr will say, Leilu. So in all those cases, she's Asura, both to the original husband and to the Avam. And every other case you could think of is mutter to the Avam, meaning that these are the cases of Isser. Every other case where there's no Isser involved, so she's mutter to both. Now it happens to be there are other cases of Isurim that are not really mentioned in our Mishnah. So it's Lav Dafka where we say Shar Kalanashim. What about all the Tesva Varayos that are Surus Liavim Ulubaleya and the Ulubaleya and the Mutaros and other cases? So it's not all cases are that we didn't mention in the Mishnah are Mutaros Ulubaleya Ulubaleya. It means typical cases Mutaros Ulubaleya Ulubaleya. So now the Gemara, so up until this point, the Mishnah was talking about Isurim of Ishus Min HaTorah that then face the case of Yibum. So now the Mishnah is going to talk about what about Isurei Arayos are not Min HaTorah but they're Shnios. The Chacham Mor goes there that even within Shnios Arayos you have the three permutations of the Mishnah that sometimes there are Asuros Lebal Mutaros Liyavim, sometimes there are Mutar Lebal Asuros Liyavim, sometimes there are Asuros to both. So Shnios Midivrei Sofrim, if you have a case of Shnios Midivrei Sofrim like a grandmother, let's say, so the Halach is as follows: Shnia Lebal Lo Shnia Liyavim. If you have a relative who's a shnia, a relative that's a second degree relative to the is a shnia la rayos to the baal, but not a shnia to the avam, so nasur la baal muteres the avam. She's asura to the baal, but she's muteres to the avam. Or shnia la avam vlo shnia la baal. If she's a shnia la rayos to the avam, but not to the baal, so good. Then asura the avam muteres the baal. So she's asura to the avam, but she's muteres to the baal. Shnia leze uleze. If she's a shnia la rayos to both the husband and the avam. Asura lezeh lezeh, then she's asur to both of them. Now that we discussed all the permutations of how she can be asur to the avam, mutter to the baal, asur to the baal, mutter to the avam, asur to both, mutter to both. So now the Gemara talks about the din of a ksuba, when the baal has to give his wife, that if you marry a woman who's asura to you, minatoro or midrabanan, you're still chayiv to give the ksuba. So if you marry a shnir midrabanan, but ein la, she loses out because of a knas, lo ksuba, he doesn't have to pay the actual ikr ksuba, the mana masayim, the mana that you'd give to a ba'ula, the masayim you'd give to a besula when you're megarishur or when she becomes an almana, velo peros. He doesn't have to pay the dmei peros that he eats from the nichse malug while they are married, meaning there are certain karkos that she brings from her father's house into the marriage when she gets married that are labeled nichse malug, and the takana is that the husband is allowed to enjoy the produce of the nichse malug even though the property remains hers. So the property is hers the whole time, but let's take an orchard with trees, so the whole property is hers, but all the fruits that grow on the tree he's allowed to he gets to keep, he gets to sell, he gets to eat from, that all belongs to him throughout the course of the marriage. It's not always, we call it payrolls, but it's not always an orchard. It's not always trees that are growing fruits. It could be a factory that's making, chairs. So if there are such people that do that have chair factory, so she owns the factory and he gets all the chairs that the factory produces, whatever the payros are while they're married. So the reason he's entitled to that is the Chamor Masakin that in exchange for his obligation to be poda his wife if she ever gets held in captivity. So in this case he wouldn't actually be chayiv to be poda her because he's asura to her. So what? So she deserves staying captivity because she's because the nusach of the ksuba is im tishtavai afarkinech vosvinech lila into, that if you get captured I will redeem you and then I'll bring you back to my house as a wife. But if she was asura to him, then you know he's not allowed to promise that he's going to bring her back as a wife because he's not allowed to marry her. So, but nevertheless, he's not going to be chayv to be poled to her. So she still doesn't get the peros. He still gets to enjoy the peros, and he doesn't have to compensate her for the peros. Velo mazonos, he doesn't have to give her mazonos or parnasa, whether he's alive or dead. Velo blaos, and if she brings in begadim that became worn out, she does not get those begadim. pagadim back, those worn out pagadim back. And the Mishnah tells us other dinim about shnios. Vavlad kasher, an offspring from a marriage of shnios is a kasher, is not a mamzer. V'kofnos alahotzi, and we would force him to divorce her because they're not allowed to be married. But if someone marries someone who's asra of minat Torah, almana l'koin gadol, grusha v'chalutz l'koin hedio, such as an almana marrying koin gadol, grusha v'chalutz l'koin hedio, where there's nisu daraisa, mamzer is nesinu l'sol by sol nasul mamzer, yesh len ksuba. In those cases, the chacham do not take away her rights to a ksuba. So the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to be bothered by that. When the whole issur was only nisu mitarabanan, she loses everything. She loses the rights to the ksuba. But when the marriage was nisu daraisa, she still gets the ksuba. She's still going to get all these benefits. It seems backwards. You would think that there would be a greater kenas if the issur were an issur daraisa. So that will be dealt with in tomorrow's daf. So first the Gemara deals with ma'ir yedetani nasa. Why does it say? Why does the Tana pick a case of a kohen hedyot that's nasa es ha'almana? Listni kidesh, meaning the Mishnah spoke about a kohen hedyot marries an almana and he has a brother who's a kohen gadol. So that was a case of muteris labal because a kohen hedyot is allowed to marry an almana and asura liyavim because a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry yavim. But why do you have to go with a case where they went all the way, where it was nasa, where they had full marriage? Just say case of kidesh and it would be the same thing. She would still be an almana kohen gadol as far as the brother's concerned and almana kohen hedyot as far as the husband is concerned. So it would be unnecessary. So it's unnecessary to say nasa. So the Gemara gives three possible answers. Possible answer number one: chi tema taima de nasa da havale ase velos ase. Maybe the reason it chose the case of nasa is because only when there was nisuin to the kohen hadyot, to the and the almana, only then will we say that the wife is going to be asura to the kohen gadol. Because then, as far as the kohen gadol is concerned, she's both an isra se and a los haseh. The haseh of Ba'ula, because she was nasa, she had nisuin, so she's obviously not a besula anymore. So that's a violation of the mitzvah haseh of ki im besula me'amav yikach isha, plus the los haseh of almana. So that's why the Kohen Gadol brother is not allowed to do yibum with her. Aval kiddush, but maybe if the Kohen Hedyot was only at kiddushin with her, asi haseh v'dachi los haseh, maybe the Kohen Gadol brother would be allowed to do yibum, because if the Kohen Hedyot never had bia with her, she's still a besula. So the only isra the Kohen Gadol has is the isra of almana the Kohen Gadol. But maybe the mitzvah haseh of yibum overrides the isra of almana the Kohen Gadol. It would be haseh v'dachi los haseh. So if we want to have a real example of where she's going to be asura liyavam, we need to come up with a way that she's going to be both an asay and a los asay to the yavam. Maybe that's the answer. That's why we chose nasa. So says Gemara, no, v'akul pirkan asay v'los asayhu. The whole parak comes up with cases of isuri lavin that face the case of yibum v'lo asay asay v'dachi los asay. And we say, guess what? You can't do the yibum. We don't say that the asay of yibum is docha all these chayavei lavin. It doesn't work. So the asay of yibum is not obviously not docha los asay. And therefore, we're back to our original question. Why give a case of a kohen hedyot that is nasa an almana? Why not just give a case of a kohen hedyot that is kidesh as almana, and it would still be a case where she's mutar lebal and asura to the yavam? So answer number two, mishum tekabayu misni seif, because the seif is going to go on to say kohen gadol shenasa as almana, that if a kohen gadol marries an almana and he has a brother who's either a kohen gadol or a kohen hedyot, she's asura l'shneim, both to the baal and to the yavam. So in that case, it's dafka nasa. It's only if she's nasa, the almana, she's asura to his brother, the kohen hadyot, to shavi chalala, because the bia of the kohen gadol is what makes her a chalala. And now that she's a chalala, she's not allowed to be with his brother, the kohen hadyot. Aval kidesh, but if she only had kiddushin to the kohen gadol, shariyale, she'd be muteres to his kohen hadyot brother. So it had to be a case of nasa in that line of the Mishnah. So tanami resha nasa. So the resha, to keep it consistent, came and said the case of nasa rather than kidesh. So it says more about the tani mishum seifa, listening mishum etziyasa. But why do we have to make the whole rest of the Mishnah fit into the seifa? You know, in the mitziyasa, it says kohen gadol shekidesh es almana v'yesh lo akohen hadyot. So why don't we just align the ratio of the Mishnah with the mitziyasa, which spoke about a case of kidesh? What was the case in the mitziyasa? That a kohen gadol does kiddushin with an almana and has a brother who's a kohen hadyot. In that case, she was asura labal because the husband was a kohen gadol, but she was muteres to the yavam because the yavam was only a kohen hadyot. And in that case, it can't be Nasa. It has to be Kidesh. Because if it was Nasa, she'd become a Chalala and she'd be Asura to the brother as well. So that case had to be Kidesh. So why don't we just align everything with the case that has to be Kidesh? So with the middle case, says the Gemara, a third answer. Why is it that we choose the case of Nasa, not Kidesh? Elam Mishum Bas Bukta is because of the case that the Tana brings right after the first permutation, which is the Bas Bukta means like the neighboring case, the one that's immediately adjacent to the case that we're talking about. The Kabbalah Misni Chalul Shnasa Ksheira. Because the Mishnah talks about a chalal marries a ksheira and he has a brother who is kasher, so that's a case where mutaris lebalein and asuros liyav mehen. So taima denasa, that in that case it's only because the chalal married the ksheira to shavya chalala, because now he made it, meaning he had full nisuin, they had bia, and that's what made her a chalala, which makes her asur to the yavam aval kidesh. But in that case, if he was only mekadisher and he wasn't boel her sharyale, she'd be mutaris to the yavam who's kasher, because she wouldn't be a chalala. And that's why we have a case of Nasa. So that's the third and final answer. Why is that we chose the case of Nasa? Because of the immediately adjacent case would only work if it was Nasa. So even though there are other cases in the Mishnah that talk about Kidesh, the immediately adjacent case would only work if it's Nasa. So the first case is also a case of Nasa. Okay, the Mishnah had also mentioned that a Kohen Hedyot marries an Almana and he has a brother who's a Kohen Gadol. She's Muteris Labal and Asur Liyavam. So ask Gemara, Mari Diktani Almana, listening to Sula. If a Kohen Hedyot marries anybody, she's going to be Asura to his Kohen Gadol brother. Because if he dies, so she becomes an Almana. And then Mimela, she's Asura to the brother, because an Almana is Asura to a Kohen Gadol. Maybe you're going to say, no, this Tana works with the assumption that she doesn't take on the status of an Almana, because klape the Yavam, because we view the Yavam as coming Mikoach, the original marriage to the brother, and she was not yet an almana at the time of the original marriage to the brother. But that's not true, because Hare Chalal Shnasa Ksheira V'lamrin Nisunar Shodam Apilin, we had a case of a Chalal who marries a Ksheira and he has a brother who's a Kasher, and we said, oh, that's a case where she's Asur to the Avam. Well, in that case also, she was a Ksheira before she married the first husband, so why would she be Asur to the Avam? She's only Asur to the Avam because by virtue of her marriage to the first husband, she became a Chalala. So over here also, we should say, by virtue of her marriage to the first husband, she became an almana, and that should ask her to a kohen gadol. So havade mishum seifa. So says Gemara. Now the reason the Tana picked the case of almana and not a basula is just to keep it consistent with the seifa. Minyena chinami. If a kohen hedyot marries a perfectly normal, regular, no history, none whatsoever, regular basula, and he has a brother that's a kohen gadol, and the kohen hedyot drops dead, that's a perfect example of muteris labal asura liyavam. We didn't give that example because it works also with an example of an almana, and in the sefer we're going to have to give an example of an almana, so we keep it consistent. Mishum tekabay lemisna, because the sefer mishum tekabay lemisna sefer kohen gadol shenasa salmana v'yesh lo ach kohen gadol kohen edyot. We wanted to give a case where a kohen gadol marries an almana and he's got a brother who's either a kohen gadol or a kohen edyot. So in that case, dafka almana, we're trying to come up with a case over there where she's asura to both the first husband and the yavam. So there, it had to be an almana. She couldn't just be a basula. Aval basula chazila mishumachi ketani almana. That's why he chose the case of almana, by virtue of that case. That's why we chose the case of almana. So now the Gemara discusses, well, wait a second. Have we really exhausted all the potential cases in the Mishnah? Isn't there a case that the Mishnah did not discuss? What about the Isra of a Mitzri? Couldn't we go through all the permutations? Asura lezeh, muteris lezeh, muteris lezeh, asura lezeh, asura to both, within the parsha of Mitzri as follows. Master of Papa, im isal had chias Rav Dimi am Rav Yochanan, if the halach is like this, so Rav Dimi says the name Rav Yochanan, that Mitzri sheni shenasa, Mitzri shona, benas sheni havi, if we just work with the assumption that if a Mitzri sheni marries a Mitzris rishona, that the child has the status of the worst of the two parents, meaning normally a Mitzri sheni's child is a Mitzri shlishi and is therefore mutar lava bakal, and a Mitzri rishon's child is a Mitzri sheni, sheni and it's still us love of bekal. What if a rishon marries a sheni? So the child, we're machmir on the child. We give the child the din of a second generation, not yet a third generation. So if we work with that assumption, we can come up with the case of Mitzri, which would have fit perfectly into our Mishnah. Listening, Nami, why doesn't the Mishnah tell me the following? Mitzri sheni shenasa shtei mitzrios. Let's say you have a Mitzri sheni that marries two women who are mitzrios. Achas Rishon of Achas Shnia. One is also second generation Mitzri, and so their child is going to be perfectly Mutter Lava Bakal. And the other one is a first generation Mitzri, so their child is going to be also Lava Bakal. So a guy who's a Mitzri Sheni marries two women. One of them is able to produce a child that is us, that is Mutter Lava Bakal, the other child that's also Lava Bakal. Vahayilo Banim Merishona, and he has children from the first, from the Mitzvah Rishona. So according to Rav Dimi, the children are going to be also Lava Bakal, but also Ushnia. He also has children from the second one, the second generation Mitzvahs, where the children are going to be Mutter Lava Bakal. So Inos of Kir Chayu, if the two brothers from that same father marry women that are Mutter to them, so Mutar Sabayla and Vasurus Leave Mayan. So those would be cases where they're Mutter to their husbands, because regular women are Mutter to marry people who are mutter lava bakal, but they're going to be also to the yavam, because the yavam is still going to have a din of a mitzri. And e epoch nas v'nasuv. And if each one marries an isha that's asura to him, meaning you have a case the a mitzri sheni marries a yisraelis who's asura to him, and the mitzri shlishi who's really a yisrael gomer marries a mitzri shnia who's asura to him. So in that case, mutar sliv mayan. They're asur to their husbands because they married the wrong people, but they'd be mutter to the yavam. So asurus lebalayan. So that would be a case of mutter leivmein and asurus lebalayan. And when the Mishnah says mutaris leelu leelu, so that's giorios. That's if they marry giorios. So then it's going to be mutter to anybody. A giorios is allowed to marry a regular Jew, and a giorios is allowed to marry a mitzri sheni, because it's only a psul kal, and kal gerim is lo akri kal. And asurus leelu leelu. And how could you have a case of a mitzri where it's going to be asur to both the yavam and the baal? That's if it's an islandess. When the mitzri sheni marries an islandess who's not able to give birth, because Yisraelis is asura b'mitzri, and when the husband dies, she's asura l'is yavim, because the Gemara darshan is asher teled, and the islandess is ein yoledes, so she's asur to her husband because he was a mitzri sheni. She's asur to the yavam because she's an islandess, so she's asur to yibum. So all four permutations are possible within the parasha of mitzri. So how come the Mishnah didn't discuss mitzri? It says, well, a ton of a shayir. The Mishnah doesn't discuss every single case. My shayir, dai shayir, but you can only say that if it left out some other case. So what other case did it leave out? So shayir, patsua daka. It left out the case of a patsua daka, who's also love of bakal, where you could also have all four permutations of a patsua daka, which we're not going to go through right now. But trust us, you could have all four permutations with the case of Petzua Daka as well. Well, Imishim Petzua Daka, Lav Shiura. Nah, the fact that I left out Petzua Daka is not really considered leaving something out. Because Petzua Daka wouldn't add anything to our Mishnah. We already have Chayav Elavin in our Mishnah. Mitzri Sheni, that marries two Mitzrios, that the Tana shouldn't have left out. Because that's an Isser essay, and we don't have examples of Isure essay in our Mishnah. So that would have been a contribution to our Mishnah. Petzua Daka wouldn't have been a contribution to our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, Petzua Daka is not considered being left out because it's included in Chayav Elavin, but Atu Chayav Elavin Milo Katani Vahadatani. But so what? Meaning the Mishnah, true, Petzua Daka doesn't add anything to the Mishnah, but not every case the Mishnah gives adds something to the Mishnah. Because Va Katani Kohen Ed Yishna Salmana El Chal Yishna Sekshera. It gave several examples of Yisur Elavin. It spoke about a Kohen Ed marrying an Almana. It spoke about a Chal marrying a Kshera. Why do I need both of those examples? So it could have just as easily given the example of Petzua Daka as well. So that is a shiur. That is considered to be left out of the Mishnah. So who is Tzuch Leilashmina? Because Rav Yudah Merav says, well, no. The cases the Mishnah gave are all necessary. Because Rav Yudah Merav said that a kosher kohenes has no iser of marrying a chalal. Only a kohen who's kosher is not allowed to marry a chalala, but a kohenes who's kshera is allowed to marry a chalal. So when it's said in the Mishnah, a chalal shenasa Kshera means a kohenes kshera, and the Tana is being mechadesh in the case of chalal that she's muteris lebaila, even though her husband is a chalal. So that's the chiddush of that line of the Mishnah. And therefore, the Mishnah is not redundant, and therefore, Petzua Daka does not belong in the Mishnah, because there's no need for redundancies. We already have all the Los Aseis. We already have an example of a Los Asei in the Mishnah. Iva Ketani Chalal Shenasek Sheira, but the Mishnah says Chalal Shenasek Sheira, and he has an Ach Kasher, where she's Mutaris Labailin and Asura to the Yavam, and then it says, V'Yisrael Shenasek Basrael V'Yeshlo Ach Mamzer. Isn't that redundant? It's giving multiple examples of Chayav Elavin. So Petzua Daka, therefore, does... should have been mentioned also once we're giving redundant examples. So it says, Hanami lo mahadr misnihi. No, the fact that it tells me the Yisra of Mamzer is also not repetitive. It's also a Chiddush. Dashmin and Lav Shein Shav Bakal, because the Tana taught me the Yisra of a Chalal marrying a Ksheira, where she becomes Asura to do Yibum with a Kohen, which is a Lav Shein Shav Bakal, because she's still perfectly kosher to marry Yisrael. The Kamash Milan, Lav Shav Bakal. So then it also wants to tell me a case of Mamzerus, because Mamzerus is a lav hashava b'kol, so it is expanding, meaning each case the Mishnah gives is necessary, and therefore the Mishnah did not want to list Petzua Daka because that would have been unnecessary. So don't tell me the Tana already left out Petzua Daka and therefore it makes sense to leave out Mitzri. No, Mitzri would have contributed something to the Mishnah. Petzua Daka didn't contribute, wouldn't contribute anything to the Mishnah. So the Gemara says that Hakatani Yisrael Shnasam Amzeres V'Yeshlo Ach Yisrael Elav Shrami Atan V'Shayer. Now the Mishnah is still redundant because the case of a Yisrael that marries a Mamzeres and has an Ach Yisrael, so that's the Yisur Shav B'Kol also. That doesn't add anything to the Mishnah. So you see that the Mishnah, the Tana gave some redundant cases and didn't list all of the redundant cases, and therefore doesn't mention Petzua Daka, and therefore it makes sense that it doesn't mention Mitzri either, because it doesn't give every possible case. So Shemamina, so you see that it's Tana Vashir, that sometimes we leave things out of the Mishnah. So Gufa, Amar Avido Amar Rav. So the halacha that we just said, we said that the Mishnah was Mechadish halacha, that Lo Husaru Ksherus Liyinasi L'Psulin, that a Kasher Kohenes is allowed to marry a Kohen Chalal, meaning even though the other way it's not okay, a Kasher Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalala, a Kasher Kohenes is allowed to marry a Chalal. So it says, I'll bring you a raya, that's true. Chalal Shnasak Sheira, if you have a Chalal that marries a Kasher woman, and he has a brother who is a Kasher, so that was one of the cases of Mutar Labal, but Asur Liyavim. So my love, Kohenes, Haru'ilo, doesn't it mean that he married a Kshera, means he married a real Kohenes, and kshera means that she's kshera lakuna, that it's a better for a kohen to marry a bas kohen than marrying a bas yisrael. So kshera means that she's imo bikuna, she's the ideal woman to for a kohen to marry. So you see that a kohen is kshera is ra'oi to marry a kohen chalal, like Rav said, because again the case was chalal shenasa kshera. Kshera meant a kohenes, and we said that that's a case of mutter lebalei, that she's mutter to the husband. She's only going to be Asura to the Avam. So it says, well, no, you think the word Kshera means Kohenes? Yisraelis. Am I Kshera? Kshera Lakol. No, Kshera means Yisraelis. When we say Kshera, it just means that she's Kshera Lakol. It doesn't mean that she's the ideal woman for a Kohen to marry. Ihachi, but if that's the case, that when it says a Chalal that marries a Kshera, Yeshlo Ach Kosher, that he has a brother that's a Kosher, so Nami Kosher Lakol, that also means Kosher Lakol. Which makes it sound like he is pasulakal, that he is a psulkal, but that's not true, because a chalal is kashubakal. Elalav kohen, umiduhu kohen, he kohenes. No, it must mean that he's a kohen, and if kasher means kohen, ksheira must mean kohenes. So it says, where midiria, hakadisa, vakadisa. No, kasher means a kohen, and ksheira means not a kohenes, means just the Israelis. The two don't have to, one is not just the feminine version of the other. The two are two totally different cases. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Masav Ravin Bar Nachman. Have a wonderful day, everyone.